they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Christ is risen.
And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God.
Christ is risen.
The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, the verses 32 through 36. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Our second reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." Here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Brothers and sisters, friends in Christ, the message of Easter is not always easy to understand. And you know, grown-ups have discussed and debated the significance of the first Easter for hundreds of years. We have all sorts of Easter traditions, and there are so many other traditions that sometimes we better watch out, because we begin to confuse our younger children by all the different holidays that we celebrate and the many traditional doings of Easter. There is the gem of a story about a group of five-year-olds in a Sunday school class. And that day, of course it was Easter, the teacher asks, "Does anyone know what today is?" One little girl was quick. She showed her hand and she said, "Today is Easter Sunday because Jesus rose from the grave." Oh, and the teacher was so pleased, she exclaimed, "That's fantastic, wonderful, you're right." But the little girl had more to say, so she kept on talking. "But if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks. Yes, we can confuse our children. Easter tells us that the long night has ended and that daylight has finally broken. The pain and suffering is over. Death and destruction is no more. Easter is a celebration of new life and new beginnings in Christ. Foremost in our minds today are the biblical accounts of the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the first Easter, the joyful Alleluias The life songs of a forgiven and a resurrected people replaced the hateful cries to kill, to do away with, to crucify. The death-dealing cross on which Jesus suffered became a tree of life-bearing fruits of forgiveness. The opened tomb has become a symbol of liberation for all ages. So it is a very good day to worship, and we should do so with joy as we bring glory to God. It is a very good day indeed. But long ago, not everybody was so pleased and so happy. Can you imagine the effect that the living Christ had on the life of one of his closest followers, Simon Peter, the son of John? And let me tell you that for Peter, this Peter, the crucifixion of his friend and Savior was absolutely the worst moment of the saddest and darkest period in his entire life. And I invite you to wonder with me what Peter's reaction was when he first met up with Jesus after the crucifixion. To understand that, I have to remind all of us just a little who Peter was. He was not born and be called Peter. Earlier on, he was only known as Simon. But later, Jesus gave him the name of Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. And when he first met Jesus, he was called away from a life where he was a fisherman, and as we learn from other sources, a crude one at that. And they say that, like proverbial sailors in our time, that the fishermen of old knew and understood how to cuss as well. He was a crude fisherman. And in the process of getting to know Jesus, he was invited to leave his boats and his nets behind, and to become a fisher of people instead. A total life change when he first met Jesus. And much later, it was Peter's confession, "You are the Christ," that became the high point of all the gospel accounts. And yes, we get to know Peter. He was an impulsive, often rash fisher. But he was also known to be a personal friend of Jesus. He listened to the voice of Jesus for 3 years. He saw great things happen, and in time to come, Peter changed. He was accepted by the others as a leader, and the disciples respected and listened to him as one of the very first of their leaders. Moreover, Jesus loved Peter. Jesus trusted Peter. And if we look back, it appears as if Jesus was preparing Peter for a great future as the first young Christian church was planted. But there's a big but. But things didn't go all that well for Peter. Peter simply did not live up to the high expectations. You should have heard him before the arrest of Jesus. At that time, he was brave, he was loud, and he sounded off. Here is one of the things that he said. He said, "Thou all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Whoa, what a statement of faith. No matter Jesus, no matter what happens, old Peter will always be by your side. But at that moment, Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me, Peter, three times." Surprise, surprise for Peter. He said to him, "What? Me? Nah, never. Even though I must die with you, Lord, I will not deny you." You see, it was exactly here where things went so very wrong for Peter. Because in that horrible night after the arrest, just listen what happened. First two servant girls, and after a little while the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." And fear struck in his heart. "I may get the same thing that happened to Jesus. No, that cannot be." So the Bible says, what was the first thing he did? He began to curse. "After 3 years, fisherman Peter, I thought you had forgotten all those words. After three years with Jesus, what do we hear now? He not only cursed, but he swore an oath. I do not know the man." And at that moment, the rooster crowed. And suddenly, the mask was off. Suddenly Peter remembered what Jesus had said before the cock crows, "You will deny me three times." And then he went out and he wailed out loud. He cried, he wept bitterly. You know, sometimes I recognize myself in this Peter. Somebody who so often did not live up to expectations. Many times have failed in the past. And I'm sure there's more of us who through the course of their lives had to discover that somehow I got off track. Somehow I am not what I had promised, what I had hoped to be. That happened in the night before the terrible events of the first Good Friday. Jesus was now crucified, and for Peter, it was all over. He knew that he had failed miserably. He knew that he was guilty. He knew that he didn't keep his promises. And the Bible says that he was filled with shame. Our young people would say, he knew that he had blown it completely. Peter was haunted by dark memories of shame and failure. What did he do? There was nothing else he could do. He had to return to his own trade. He was no longer a fisher of men. He was now a fired follower. Back to the old trade. Back to the Sea of Galilee. The future? Well, whatever it was going to be, it was going to be a future without Jesus. Until that early sunrise that we read about this morning on the beach, long, long ago, until the moment came when he was confronted with the reality that our God will never change. And that God through Jesus Christ would be with us till the end of time. Can you see the dilemma? While others were cheering and were glad, there he was, back at the seaside, back in his own old habits and his own life. And that makes this story fresh and new for us. Could it be that there is a Simon Peter present here with us in church on this beautiful Easter morning? What I mean is there someone, a man or a woman, saying, hey, this shoe fits me. I'm somewhat like Peter. Unfaithful, untrue. Often I have wandered far away. My life has lost its meaning. There is no future for me. And here then, once again, or for the first time, the Easter story, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. And the question is, and that was an electrifying moment, what is Jesus going to say to the apostle who fired himself by denying his Savior? Just listen. Oh, this is so beautiful. Just listen. Jesus is not saying anything. Jesus is simply asking a question. Just one question for this unhappy Peter. Simon, son of John. Whoa, something wrong here. Jesus used to call him Peter, son of John. Now he calls him Simon. The name that he carried before he met Christ for the first time. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, do you love me? Come to think of it, this was really the only question that Peter could possibly answer without shame. Though he had failed, though he disappointed in every aspect, one thing remained true. He honestly and truly loved the Lord, and he was able at that moment, he was willing to say so. So he responded, yes, Lord. And also, in the word Lord,
there is special meaning. Lord, my Savior. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I think that is the moment that faces us on this Easter morning. And may I dare, may I risk, in the name of Jesus Christ, to repeat the question this morning. And I've become aware that since our sermons are going out over the internet, that there are people in three continents listening. And I realize, because they've told me by email, that people whom I had the privilege to serve 30 and 35 years ago are still listening now that they can do so, and that they will share in this service. And that makes the moment too great for me, because who knows if I have failed in the past 40 years to ask you directly and personally the question in Jesus' name. I'm asking you now, even if there are 1,000 miles between us. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? If your answer is yes, in this church, no matter where you are, the response is still the same. Then said Jesus, follow me. Follow me. Follow me back into the reality of your world, and I will be with you, and I will teach you, and I will sustain you, and I will bring you home, and you will never, never be lost again. This very day, your life and mine can be renewed, and our hope can be restored. It is Easter. He is alive, and he's asking you and me, do you love me? Friend, if you still love, this may be God's moment that you should respond and follow. Yes. Yes, Jesus. I love you. Hear then the gospel. In the name of Jesus, he said, follow me. Amen.